We have 2 hours left.
That's it?
That's it, man. It goes fast. Yeah. I told you it goes fast.
Oh, man.
Good stuff with Dave Yeager earlier in the show. And then coming up in just a moment or two, we'll have Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I hope he has a story for me this week.
Oh, he always has a story.
Okay.
You know?
He does. Some doozies.
He is a beauty.
Yes, he is. I was telling you off the air that was the only reason I tuned into that horrible game that ended up 9-6 with the Rams. I was listening to Charles. Way to entertain.
Charles and Tom Brenneman. That's a great team. I think Tom Brenneman's a heck of an announcer, and he's a really nice fit with Charles. Speaking of Charles, we have him on right now. Of course, the NFL on Fox and the NFL Network. Charles, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Grant? Is Doug there?
Yes. Doug is here. And
hey, Doug.
What's happening?
Hey, listen, you didn't nod off at all during that telecast on Sunday, did you?
Not that I'm going to tell anyone. That's the beauty of being off camera, right? Not going to tell anyone. No, you guys know how that is. You've done those games, Grant, and there's times where you're like, wow, what the heck happened here? The beauty of ours, if there is a beauty, there's always a silver lining that you search for as a broadcaster that you can tell people, you know, chapter and verse, because you've had to do it many, many times. If the game at least is undecided,
correct.
Okay, it doesn't have to be an artistic success, although you would like that too, obviously. But if it's not one of those games, it's just awful, but you know who's going to win, that's like the worst. But awful and still competitive in terms of scoreboard, you find your way through, because there's still something that can happen, a chapter to be written, all that good stuff. But when it's just bad and the game's decided early, oh, that's a long day.
You know, Charles, with all the stuff that's going on down in Cowboy Land, obviously they're playing well. What does it say about Tony Romo? Because to be honest, he could be a major distraction. But the way that he's handling this, probably, in my opinion, I want yours.
Yeah.
How has it ironed out that situation?
Doug, I'm going to ask you a question at the end of my little statement here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So just be prepped. But I don't know that in my lifetime I've seen anyone step to a podium as Romo did today and handle a very complex situation professionally, not to mention what his emotions are, you know, as a man and as a competitor,
mm-hmm.
and handle it any better than he did today. And that's one of those ones where the cynical side would easily say, boy, they really got together and scripted that well as a team, you know, the Cowboys and what have you. That felt to me like that was Tony Romo 100%, that was him, his thoughts, his words, the whole deal. That didn't feel like a script writer. That felt like someone who's put a lot of thought into this thing. And I loved how he acknowledged how difficult it is to be in this position, yet at the same time able to praise Dak Prescott and say, look, as much as I want to be there, he's earned this. He's earned that right. That was phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. And then how he ended it with, you know, the two things that you battle, you know, the man across from you and the man inside of you. That about finished me off. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but Doug, you've seen teams, you may have even been on teams where this type of thing can tear a team apart.
Absolutely, it can, because you know, there's a fraction that's going to go with Romo because he's been there for so long, and then there's a fraction that's on the new with Dak, and it that's why I'm saying Tony's handling of this situation is probably the biggest thing that we see in this, and now his support, which now really makes the Cowboys formidable.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. It allows everyone to exhale and relax a little bit. It really does. I mean, you know, how many times have we talked about this in sports where you have, you know, rivals going at it and which side does the locker room pick and you know, who do the guys follow? If you're into pop culture and you're watching movies and you're seeing all of a sudden two adversaries come together over, let's say, you know, two guys over a woman, mm-hmm. and everyone around's like holding their breath, like, what's going to happen if the guys shake hands and hug it out? You see everybody go, whoo,
yeah.
kind of exhale. Because he didn't have the trouble you may have expected. Well, that's what Tony Romo gave his team. I don't think there's any better gift he could have given his teammates, the organization, and I think it's small victory for him in a lot of ways. He's probably sitting at home in his wonderful house in Dallas with his family and still eating his heart out, but he did the right thing. And that's not easily done by guys who are major league competitors Tony is, because he sees Dak doing what he's doing, and in his mind he's thinking, well, we'd be 8-1 with me too. This wouldn't be any different. Yeah, he knows it's best right now for him to stand down, but yet be ready.
Yes.
Because we've seen it happen too many times in the NFL season. Think about the Bengals last year when Dalton hurt his thumb. Mm-hmm. You know, they were rocking and rolling. He hurts his thumb. A.J. McCarron comes in and does well. But still, there's a reason Andy Dalton's the number one guy, and they didn't have him for the playoffs again.
Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. Charles, I want to back up. Is there any hint or anything that you got from your production meetings leading up to the broadcast of the Rams as it relates to Jared Goff? And now, after witnessing the game that you did, that's three games where the Rams have not had an offensive touchdown. So to me, you really can't do much worse. So in a nutshell, were you surprised to hear the announcement that Goff is starting?
No, I wasn't surprised. But granted, the end of our game with the Jets, Rams-Jets, you know, I said, and I was on record, and obviously I'll stand by it, I thought Keenum would continue to be the quarterback because they won. And they weren't out of the playoff situation yet.
Right.
And it just seemed to me that the way this season has unfolded, where they were so steadfast on staying with Keenum, even though they haven't generated a whole lot of offense, I felt like, okay, as long as they're in the playoff hunt, they're going to go with it. And then as soon as they are eliminated, if and when that happens, that's when you turn to the kid and you live with him come heck or high water, because now it doesn't matter. You're out of it, and you just go ahead and kind of relax and let him play. But to your point, was there a hint? There was more than a hint. Jeff Fisher did say to us, you know, he's close. Now, he said we're close about so many different things that sometimes your ears don't exactly go up. You're like, you know, well, Todd Gurley's close. Yeah, okay, we've heard that all year. Well, we're really close here. Okay, I got that. Well, Jared Goff's close. And maybe you're kind of like, yeah, okay, we've heard that before. But he kept saying, he said, you know something? He's close. I don't want to play him here in New York because of what Todd Bowles does defensively. It's too exotic. I don't know if that's the right place to throw the rookie in. But then we see Miami the next week, and they're not nearly as exotic on defense. You know, Vance Joseph, the first-year coordinator, he has plenty of stuff in his arsenal. But Vance is also, you know, the product of, you know, a Mike Zimmer type of a thing, a Paul Gunther in Cincinnati where he came from, where they don't do a ton of stuff, but they execute it well and tune it up. And plus that defensive front of Miami, he doesn't want to do a lot of stuff. He just wants to turn those guys loose. So that felt better to him about if I'm going to put the puppy out there, that's the place to go. So, yeah, did he give us a hint? He certainly did. Did I kind of ignore the hint? Yeah, I'd be guilty of that because I thought once they won the game, he would stand pat and say, we got to keep going until the playoff thing. But I shouldn't be – I'm not overly surprised because he did say it. I just didn't believe it because they won. If they had lost that game, guys, I would have been the first to say, you know, in our thing as we wrapped up, it would have said, well, I fully expect to see Jared Goff next week now that they lost another game. But winning it changed, flipped me around, and it turned out I was incorrect.
And you had the best-selling author Harlan Coben in the booth. I mean, does it get any better than that, Charles?
No, it really doesn't.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys, truthfully, there's one word I'm going to use, and I'm embarrassed to use it. And I'm just going to anyway because I don't think there's any other way to say it. I was like a groupie. I was like, oh, my God, this is so great. And let me tell you, he's a wonderful man. We had fun. He hung out in the booth during the game. It was just – I really appreciate him taking the time to do that. And
Doug loves to read. Doug loves to read. We got to get him turned on to Harlan Coben.
Doug, you're next.
Okay, I'm going to have to check it out.
And the things that I learned from him about different people he's encountered, and I mean, these authors, he did tell me one of the best stories that I couldn't use during the game because it had no significance during the game, but here's the best one. He's a graduate of Amherst, so, you know, that's pretty darn good school, all right? And so I was teasing him because one of my high school classmates, teammates growing up is the lacrosse coach at Williams, and that Amherst-Williams battle, I think ESPN went up there for game day a few years ago. I mean, it's a big, big deal in Division III. So He said, you know, one thing you learn in this life is to be happy with the success you have and not worry about other people's successes, because we all kind of do that. Like, okay, we're doing okay, but what about that guy there? We see it a lot in contract negotiations, right, guys? You know,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, he made this much money, but I'm as good as he is, so I should be making that much instead of just worrying about getting theirs. Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell went through that, where Russell at one point said, well, if Wilt's make $100,000 and my team's winning, why should make more? So he signed a contract for $100,000 and $1, which was a great, great story.
Right.
Then. Here's the point of the story. He says that he has a fraternity brother who's also a writer and an author. And he said, you know, I've done okay, you know, which is a classic understatement, because if you look up the numbers of how many he sold, it's off the charts, right? He's one of the top 20 best-selling authors in the world as we speak right now in terms of his genre.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not even number one in my own fraternity from college.
Wow.
You know who it is?
Wow.
You know who it is?
Who?
Dan Brown. The
come on.
Code.
Come on.
They were in the same frat
on
the campus
on.
At the same time.
That's unbelievable.
Same fraternity, and they churned out those two.
Come
Are
on.
You kidding me?
That's unbelievable. No,
wow.
Really.
I fell out of my chair. I said, what?
Wow.
He said, yeah. He said, in my own frat, I'm number two. So
that is
you get used to being comfortable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, you go back to a reunion and get smacked around still.
Hey, exactly.
Hey, Charles, before I forget, I have a favor I want to ask you, okay? When we get done, you have to promise me something, okay? I want you to go look at my Twitter timeline, okay? Because, you know, Doug was on earlier talking about how he hunts for rabbits.
Yeah,
and he was
as a child,
he was talking about how that for some reason that they would honk the horn in their car and it would freeze the rabbits. And I said, well, that's cheating, okay? So Mrs. Napier has put something out via Twitter that I have not even shown Doug yet.
Oh boy!
So Charles, I want you to, when we get off the air, I want you to look at my Twitter timeline and see what I've retweeted, okay?
She's a dandy.
I will definitely check that out, because it's about time for me to open mine up too. I tend to leave it alone after games for a couple of days. Traffic pass a little bit, so it's about time to open up. I will check that out. But last question then, Doug. If you're hunting for rabbits, were you throwing rocks at them? Were you using, you know, conventional weapons?
No, my dad had a little .22, and he would we would be on our way, Charles. So to paint the picture, we're on our way, and this is old country road. And at the end of the road, there is a little lake, a little pond, and that's where we were going to fish. But now my dad will always tell me, boy, listen to me. We're not out here to play games. We're out here. This is for food.
Yeah.
Okay? So as we're going, we got a van. The side door's open. I'm sitting there. The horn gets honked. He shoots the rabbit. I run down and get it. By the time we get down to the pond, we got about six rabbits. Now we're going to fish for a 5-gallon bucket of fish. We're going home. We're living the dream, man.
You're eating well, too.
Yes, sir. And he's laughing.
So you were like the dog. You would fetch the rabbits?
Hey,
is that what you were?
If I'm daddy's dog, you're damn right.
Hey, Grant, you understand. I truly understand. If Dad says that's what we're doing,
you better believe
that's
it.
That's what we're doing.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Now, where'd you grow up, Doug?
In Seattle. And this was a little bit outside of Seattle, a little country town called Longview.
Does not matter where, because that sounds like my family in West Virginia, in North Carolina, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Same type of a deal.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And you always start with boy.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's what we're going to do today. And there was no negotiation on what day, how the day would unfold either. It was a yes, sir, if you knew what was good for you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, like you said, hard head makes a soft you know what.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no doubt.
Yes.
There's no doubt. Because you didn't want them to say, boy, go cut down a switch for me.
That was actually Grandma, because since she didn't move too well, she'd make me go get my own switch, Grant.
And you better not bring back something
nothing like
use well.
Yes, nothing that might break.
Yeah, because if it did,
now you're in trouble.
You had to go bring the whole tree back.
Yeah, that's right.
Time.
Let me pick my own. Go get a branch. Now.
My wife told you my wife grew up in Dallas. You know, when the Adrian Peterson, I honestly, Charles, not to be the term switch was never in my vocabulary, and I'm glad that it wasn't. And you know, remember
Adrian Peterson deal.
Right. So, and a lot of people were talking about the way that, you know, parents used to discipline their kids. And my wife told me, and I was blown away by this. She said, listen, I grew up in Dallas. All of my friends, they knew what the switch was.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we were
no
all,
doubt.
And we would have to go out and get it and bring it in the house. Hey. And that was foreign to me. But it's just, again, different cultures, different parts of the country, you know, and everything else. On Long Island, Charles, we do have rabbits, but I just never was hunting for rabbits. In Syosset, New York, I wasn't hunting for
Charles,
rabbits.
Charles,
we're gonna
educate Grant Napier.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Listen, I went to school with a young lady named Bridget Gordon at Tennessee. Bridget was a 2,000-point scorer, played on an Olympic team, you know, led the Lady Vols national titles. I think she's an assistant basketball coach somewhere in the NCAA now. She's from a place called DeLand, Florida, all right, which is where Stetson University is and what have you. Okay. And she was telling me in college that for entertainment, she and her brothers, sisters, friends, and what have you, they'd go gator dodging. And I said, what the heck is gator dodging?
Oh,
she said,
boy.
Well, it's definitely not cow tipping.
Yes.
You always hear about cow tipping,
yes,
right? Well, I said, what the heck is gator dodging? She said, well, we go out at night when the gators would, you know, would come out of the water, they'd be laying around, and we just start running through them.
Oh.
I said, excuse me?
What?
Wow. I said, yeah, we just run through them, and they would chase you, and you would do different things.
Come
I
on.
Said, so you would have the gators chasing you like the family dog would chase you around? She said, yep. And I said, now, how dumb are you people? She said, well, where do you get your agility from? He said, the one thing you learn as a kid, and you learn it really well, the one thing about gators, if you run straight ahead, can run you down. They're very fast over short distances straight ahead. So you serpentine everything.
Oh,
my
gosh.
They cannot change direction.
Tell them what I'm doing, Grant.
And they cannot change direction. And I remember staring at Bridget. I'm sure my eyes were like saucers. And then I moved down here to Florida. She wasn't lying.
Yeah, she's exactly right. Let me tell you, when I talk to my athletes, I talk to different people about training. We train kids nowadays with cones and different things like that. Let me tell you, in Seattle, I ran from dogs, and I climbed fences, and I got the heck out of the way, and that's where you get your agility from. Now, it's nothing to it. This was life or death. Have you ever been chased by a pit bull, and he really meant business?
No, unfortunately, I have not.
You will find a gear, my friend, that you didn't know you
let me
had,
tell you
Charles.
Something. I'll be Bob Hayes in the 60s.
You will run through a pulled hamstring.
Hey, let me tell you, I'll be chasing Homer Jones down the sideline, okay?
Hey, listen, I'll leave you with this one. I mean, to Doug's point, I never gotten really chased by dogs growing up in New York State. So I go back home. I go back to Tennessee with my family, and they had a dog, and it wasn't a pit bull or what have you. And something went haywire, and the dog was chasing me, and I took off. And like as Doug said, you find another gear. So if let's say you're a 4-5 guy, the dog chasing you, you're easily 4-2, 4-5. All right, there's no question in my mind. That's where I developed my lungs too, because I forgot about moving, you know, dodging a little bit. I was just straight out, full on. And to this day, my family, those are still around, still scream. Still laugh and say, you remember the time he was running and all you could hear, help, three counts over? was me.
And you were Edwin Moses. You were hurtling over stuff too, Charles.
Listen, Edwin didn't lose a race for a whole long time. I'm fully convinced that he got chased a lot as a kid.
Charles, you're the best. You enjoy the evening, all right? And we will look forward to chatting with you next week.
I'm going to check out the Twitter timeline.
Oh, boy.
I'm also sending you something, Grant,
okay,
offline.
Yes.
And I think you're going to like it. So
okay.
I will talk with you later on.
Be good, Charles. Take
Always.
Care of yourself.
All right, be good, guys.
You got it.
Best segment of the week, right?
Always, man. I love talking to Charles. We were trying to talk about sports, ladies and gentlemen.
We took the night off. We wanted to talk about
whatever.
Know, right?
Yeah, great stuff by Charles. And
did you even look?
Oh,
you're busy.
Man.
No, wait a minute. No, I don't want you to do it right now because I don't want you to. But anyway.
You know what, Grant?
Read that before you.
It is 5:22. Time to call Sierra Pacific for your $86 heating system tune-up. Call 800-551-3040.
You know, because I don't want you. I want you to see what I retweeted there from Mrs. Napier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you'll appreciate this.
It's a wabbit.
Right. with
Thanksgiving is just around.
It's wabbit season. Thanksgiving
look,
is just
look,
around.
Star, we will be having turkey at the house.
Look at that picture.
That is.
I wish. You know what? Again, follow me on Twitter or Doug on Twitter, and you can see what the lovely Mrs. Napier put out for all of us to see.
You two, and that's what I'm saying. You two are the absolute best, man. I appreciate it.
Is that a classic or
yes.
what?
Yes.
Oh, man. All right, if you want to get in on the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, that's 339-1140. Somebody says there's no trees in New York, Grant. Let me tell you something. There are a hell of a lot more trees in New York than there are in California.
Hey, well, I mean, Central Park.
Let me tell you something.
I know. I'm saying New York State.
Let me tell you something.
Upstate, because I was living in SUNY Purchase, and there is, wow.
You go to Long Island, it's just trees everywhere. There's many, many, many more trees in New York than there are in California. I'm just telling you. It's not, like, you won't, I mean, I really mean that. Like, you know, California is a much larger area, but and they have forests and everything, but the trees in New York, people that think that are trees in New York are delusional.
Yes, there are. I can speak on that one, actually. I can't really remember Long Island, but when I'd start going out of, headed towards
Westchester County.
It reminded me of home, actually.
Yeah, right.
In Seattle, there's trees everywhere.
Everywhere, absolutely. All right, if you want to call 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Dave Yeager was on at 4 o'clock. We just heard from Charles Davis. We're going to talk some college football as well with Brian Fisher. He's the National College Reporter for College Football Talk. And, of course, boy, college football right now, can anyone beat Alabama? But more importantly than that right now, who is going to be in position to give an opportunity to beat Alabama? We'll talk with Brian Fisher next year on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Well, we have talked about this, and it's being talked all around the country. Is there a team out there that, number one, can beat Alabama? And what's going to happen in the Big Ten? Who's going to be left out? Who's going to be in? There are so many possibilities. Here to help us try to break it down is Brian Fisher. He's a National College Reporter for College Football Talk. Brian, this is Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, let's get right to Alabama. Do you feel there's a team out there right now that could give them a legitimate game? And if so, who's that team?
You know, I think when you're talking about, you know, 18 to 24-year-olds, that can vary and throw everything for a loop, even as good as Alabama has looked over the last couple of weeks of the season. And really having a month to prepare for a semifinal game, I think that gives teams like Clemson, like a Michigan, especially like an Ohio State that have the talent to compete with Ohio State in terms of that starting 22. Now, whether they will actually give them a game when they all line up and kick things off between the lines, who knows? But I think any of those kind of top five to top six teams really could give them a game. I just think at this point, though, they're just so far ahead of everybody else. And we'll see come at the end of the year. You know, the SEC isn't as strong as it once was, and maybe Alabama hasn't been tested like we previously seen in the past couple of years here.
Brian, I would be interested on your take of USC playing Bama now, because Sam Darnold, to me, he really impressed me. Poise, legs, toughness, accurate arm on the run, and those are the type of quarterbacks that give Alabama problems.
Absolutely. I think if they played again, it would be a much different game than that opener to begin this season. I think more than anything, this is a USC team that has confidence right now. I don't think they had that at the beginning of the year, and certainly that big slide in starting 1-3 had a lot to do with that. But they've got their legs underneath them. I think the change at quarterback has been a big part of that. You saw it again in that game against Washington. Even when it's not a clean pocket, you know, Sam Darnold can either escape out and find some of his big play receivers. There's a lot of talent on that USC team, especially on offense, and we saw that in upsetting Washington. And I don't know if USC would be able to beat Alabama at this point. You know, they're still thin along the defensive line, but it certainly would be a lot closer game, and one I think a lot of people would much rather watch now than at the beginning of the year.
Brian Fisher from College Football Talk joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We talk about Clemson now. They're going to need a little help. I have not been impressed with Clemson. I don't like their defense. Again, they should have lost to North Carolina State. They got lucky there at home. Then they lose at home to Pittsburgh. Do you see them as getting into, because most people feel that they're, the way their schedule looks and everything else, that they will be one of the four teams playing. Do you agree?
I think if they do win out and they are the ACC champions, I think it would just be so tough to keep them out just based on their schedule. That the fact that they did beat Louisville, they did beat Florida State, they have all these top 25 wins, you know, including Auburn at the beginning of the year. Even that win against Troy, in which they kind of barely escaped that one, that one's looking pretty good because they might end up being the Sun Belt champion. So the schedule sets up well for Clemson, but you're right. I don't think this is a team that's playing like a top four team right now. Do they have the talent to? Absolutely. But we just haven't seen it at all. And you kind of wonder, is this a Florida State from a couple of years ago? Is this, you know, just a slow starting team that needs to get up for a game? Maybe that Pitt loss will kind of serve as a wake up call, because they do have the talent to go toe to toe with Alabama. They do have a Deshaun Watson who should be a Heisman Trophy candidate right now, but isn't because he's just not been as accurate throwing the passes down the field or in the red zone. And I think if you're Dabo Swinney, you got to get the guys focused. Maybe that loss does serve as a little bit of a wake-up call, and they start blowing teams out and living up to their potential. But right now they're not a top-four team, but they will be at the end of the year if they do win out.
Brian, Michigan, quarterback Wilton Spate, where does this put them now that they have an injured quarterback? Will the committee take that into consideration as they're doing this, or will they look at their body of work right now?
Well, you know, I think for this week's rankings, they're not even going to factor in. I think it will be if Wilton Spate is out, as all the reports indicate, against Indiana, then I think they're going to kind of look at how the team looks. And if they, you know, blow Indiana out of the water, I think that's certainly not going to be a huge factor in their minds. You know, let's face it, you know, Michigan's entire season is going to come down to that game at Ohio State. That's a game that not only gets them the division win, but likely a Big Ten championship game when you consider the teams in the other division that they've already played. So Michigan can overcome the loss of a starting quarterback. You certainly don't want to have that this late in the season because there's not enough time to build up reps for your backup. But Jim Harbaugh, he's a quarterback whisperer. He can get guys ready to play, certainly in what amounts to a two-game season down the stretch here. I'd be curious to see if it is John O'Korn, the backup for the Wolverines. He's a guy that looked really, really good as a true freshman down at Houston, kind of regressed a little bit as a sophomore, ended up transferring from there. So he's got talent. He's got natural talent. I'd be curious to see what Jim Harbaugh is able to do with him on essentially a short week against Indiana. But the big one is circled, and that's that road trip at Ohio State. That's the one that everybody's going to be keeping an eye on.
Well, yeah, if Ohio State wins that game and you're looking at Penn State, they got at Rutgers, that should be no problem. And then, you know, Michigan State, they should win. But again, at least that's not – I mean, we could be looking at, you know, Penn State, Wisconsin, correct? And then what happened – you know, Ohio State wouldn't even be playing in their conference championship. Are they going to be – a Final Four team under that scenario? Give me your thoughts on how this Big Ten could play out.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now you have to consider Ohio State just being at home, you know, having a game where it's a rivalry game, you know, and certainly they've had Michigan's number the last couple of years. I think there's an importance factor to that game for Ohio State. Look, if they just blow Michigan out of the water, and if, say, Oklahoma were to win the Big 12 and Wisconsin were to end up winning that Big Ten title game, I don't see how you can keep Ohio State out. Yeah, they didn't win their division, but they would have two wins over Power 5 champions. I
agree.
I think that's a strong enough resume.
Yep.
Plus, you know, really top 10 wins over Michigan, over a Wisconsin team, a close loss on the road at Penn State that really, let's face it, kind of came down to a fluky-type play in terms of them running that back. So I would say it would be hard to keep Ohio State out, especially if they look really good these last 2 weeks. I think the committee would have no choice but keeping the top four.
Brian, a trio of two lost teams, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, and Penn State, out of those three teams, out of those two lost teams, which do you think might get in and serve to maybe rumble some things up in the Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you have the Big Ten champion, I think that just the strength of the league has been really apparent to everybody. So I think they are going to get strong consideration, whether it's Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game or Penn State ultimately winning that. And I think Penn State would have a very good chance at cracking that top four. just because of the strength of their schedule. You know, they did lose to Michigan, but look at those other wins that they would have. They would have one over Wisconsin in the title game. They would be a conference champion, which means a lot, I think, to the committee when it all comes down to it. And I think they would have more quality wins when you look at their schedule than Oklahoma would have. And I think that would be the key thing when you look at what the committee is designed to do. They've kind of proven the last couple of weeks that they value those wins a lot more than kind of who you've lost to. And I think that's why if you're looking at Oklahoma in terms of coming out of the Big 12, I think they just have such an uphill battle trying to crack that top four, given who's ahead of them. I mean, they were 11th coming out of last week. I would assume they're going to move up a little bit this week, but I don't know if it's going to be enough at the end of the year.
Speaking of being enough, as we're talking with Brian Fisher, National College reporter for College Football Talk, Washington, you know, again, they got the big game coming up at Washington State. They're ranked, but could they get in, or you think it's highly unlikely?
I think if they win out, they're going to be in. You know, I think that's the key thing for them. They're going to be a conference champion if they would end up doing that. They have opportunities for more top 25 wins, not only in the Apple Cup against Washington State, but against either a rematch with Utah or possibly a Colorado team that has certainly looked very strong down the stretch. So they have some quality wins, certainly the non-conference everybody's kind of penalizing them for. But I think Stanford can rally to finish with a 9-3 record, so that's going to be a very good win. They won on the road at Utah. I think they're going to be fine if they win out, but that margin for error for the Huskies, certainly it's not like it once was. And that loss certainly, you know, hurt them a little bit in terms of just kind of the national perception of the program right now.
Brian Fisher, National College Football reporter for College Football Talk. Jalen Hurt, one thing, the quarterback for Bama, one thing that looks to be maybe something to worry about is the amount of rushes that he's getting. He's running the ball quite a bit. Could there be for a freshman, a real freshman, true freshman, could there be an overuse concern for those guys?
You know, I think if Nick Saban had his way, he probably would not want all those, you know, just getting banged up at the end of the year. But he's a big kid, even as a young guy coming in there. I think he's withstood some pretty big hits. And, you know, that's part of their offensive identity now. You know, I think that's what's really changed about Alabama is that design quarterback run, some of those run-pass options. That's really kind of their bread and butter, and it saves them. You know, I think if you go back to that game against LSU, the reason they won that were two big runs by him, both designed and on a scramble. And so he's such a central factor. I don't think they would in an ideal world want him to run and take those hits, but he knows when to get down. He knows when to slide. I think he's a smart quarterback, and really, as this team kind of develops, you know, there's so much talent around him. Maybe he has to do a little bit less the next couple of weeks, certainly in the SEC title game against a weaker East Division opponent. But comes that semifinal, he'll be well rested. He'll have a couple of weeks of rest, and he'll have another, you know, eight or nine days between the semifinal and the final if they make it that far. So I don't think it's a concern right now, but I think going forward, as he progresses as a passer, as a sophomore and junior, they're going to try to rein him in, I guess, a little bit in terms of those design runs.
Good stuff, Brian. We really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Anytime, fellas.
Brian Fisher, National College reporter for College Football Talk. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian. That's B-R-Y-A-N, Brian D. Fisher. We'll be right back here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Taking you up till 7 o'clock. Good stuff from Brian Fisher. My take is, and he makes a good point, when you're dealing with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-old kids, guys, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and you give some of these coaches, you know, 3 and 4 weeks to prepare before a semifinal game. But to me, I don't think Clemson could beat Alabama. I don't think Louisville could beat Alabama. I think Ohio State could give Alabama a game. And that's about it. I just think the way Ohio State plays, I think that they could give Alabama a game this year. But I don't think Louisville could. I know everyone talks about Louisville's offense against Alabama. I don't think Louisville would stay on the field with Alabama. Michigan, maybe, but not without their quarterback. Clemson, no. Clemson's defense is not very good. I think Wisconsin could at least play with them. I don't think that they would win. I don't think they'd stay within 10 points. I think Ohio State was best suited to beat Alabama.
I would agree. I would disagree with out of – well, I won't say disagree, but Louisville-Clemson. Out of the two of them, I think that Louisville stands a better chance. I know that they might not match up them man for man, but those type of quarterbacks that are mobile, can throw, can run, and they're running for – not just running to throw the ball. He's running for a purpose. He's trying to get to the end zone. Those type of quarterbacks give Alabama
– I think Lamar Jackson would be better suited to give them a game. Yes. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, I just – I Clemson, man, for whatever reason, it just looks like, I don't know, do they not want to be there?
Because I don't know.
They have a good team.
They should have lost to North Carolina State at home, too. I mean, the North Carolina State missed a kick that they should have made. And then, of course, you've got, you know, losing to Pitt. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
And you got to know what's going on. Brian Fisher brought up a good point, though, that maybe that was their wake-up call. Because, you know, if you needed one, you got it now. And for whatever reason, everyone's keeping them right in the race like they are in. So if they win out, they got, what, two games left?
Yeah, because the loser of Ohio State, Michigan, is going to fall out of the top four.
Automatically.
So all Clemson's got to do is win. That's exactly right.
So if they win, they're in, and they're probably in so that they wouldn't play Alabama until the final.
And I got to tell you, I would not bat an eyelash if Houston – beats Louisville on Thursday night in Houston.
Now, that's going to be a humdinger.
Yes.
Because I will tell you, out of any of them, if Louisville, because they kind of do the same thing as Clemson.
Yep.
They have a good team, and
short
then they
week.
Just look like they fall asleep and they're not focused, because I'm thinking, oh, they're just going to roll over this team. I turn it on, and it is a ball game.
Yeah. So there's a lot to go. All right. We know that. There's a lot of football left to go. And, you know, when I'm looking at, you know, with Louisville, you know, Houston was the sexy team early in the season. They had a couple big wins and Coach Herman, and boy, he's going to go to this school and he's going to go to that school and he's going to leave and blah, blah, blah. And then Houston, you know what, they ran into some tough games and now all of a sudden, you know, they're not really in the picture. But I would say this, I think you're going to get the best that Houston has to offer Thursday night.
Yeah, they're looking to be upsetters, no doubt. You're going to go in, and they are going to give you their absolute best game. And for whatever reason, Grant doesn't think they're sexy anymore. It is 5:52. Time to call Sierra Pacific for your $86 heating system tune-up. Call 800-551-3040.
Eric, you're on Sports 1140. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys, or good evening now. It's dark early, but I had to call, talk some college football, but I really want to quick, I agree with both of you, at least Grant, definitely on LeBron James. I don't understand the leap from that to, because I remember, didn't Jesse James, the famous outlaw, have a posse of criminals? You know, posse's been around for decades. It does not relate to race. I don't like to jump there. Phil Jackson is a great human being. I don't like to insinuate that, what LeBron James did. But on the college football, great interview. That's one of the better college football interviews I've heard, actually.
He was great. Thank you. I thought he was good, too.
Yeah. I'd like to see him back again in a few weeks. And you guys talked about it, but it's obvious that the Michigan did the world a great favor by losing in a way, because if Michigan had stayed undefeated and Ohio State had beaten Michigan coming up in a few weeks, I don't know what you do then, because you'd have both have one loss, and if it's a close game, you put both Big Ten teams in, and that would have really messed things up. But I agree, Grant, you made a great point on Clemson, too. Clemson essentially lost the game when a guy missed like a 30-yard field goal to NC State. I would have dropped them out of the top four after that game, in my opinion. I mean,
just to me, that's almost the same as a loss. That's almost like a loss. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, North Carolina State is what are they? They're 5-5 on the year. They're not a good team.
They're like 50th in the rankings.
Right.
They're not even top 40. They're garbage. So I didn't see enough. I've been driving right now. Can you give me a rundown of who are the top four right now that came out?
The top four college football? You've got Alabama is number one. Ohio State is two. Louisville and Michigan.
Okay, yeah. So things are still going to shake out, because you have the ACC championship game, which Louisville is going to play in. And you're going to, of course, have Michigan and Ohio State. And I have to agree with you, Ohio State still has the most talent of the remaining teams in the top 10 that can maybe knock off Michigan and then Alabama. But I've said it for weeks going back to a stretch there where Alabama will not lose this year.
I agree.
August. I've been saying it for weeks
now. No, they won't.
they've been putting up 50 on every single SEC team. I agree that the guest you asked said maybe the SEC is not a sub grant, but they're putting up 50 week after week after week on SEC teams.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think Ohio State's going to beat Michigan, especially now if the quarterback's hurt, which he is. I think they're going to they'll beat Michigan by 10 points at least.
Grant, is the Michigan quarterback done for the season?
They're saying he's got a broken collarbone. If he's got a broken collarbone, he's not playing in anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think the Michigan loss last week or whatever, that really opened things up more than any other loss, because now even if they went out, I think, it'd be tough.
All right, man. Take care. See you. I just, to me, this is going to be who can beat Alabama. Out of all the teams that have a chance, who's best suited to beat Alabama? And I got to go with Ohio State. Sexy would be Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
And Louisville.
Yes. But there's a big but there.
Right.
Ohio State has, the hogs, the big men in the middle, offensive, defensive lines that match up.
And you have a great coach in Urban Meyer.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. We got 1 hour left. Kirk Morrison, former NFL linebacker, is going to talk to us about what's going on with Jared Goff in L.A. He's a Rams analyst for ESPN. So we've got that coming up at 6:18, 3 hours in the books, 1 hour left right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.